This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday. And we're going to get to, office meetings at some point this hour, the judiciary, but we're not getting to any of those things right now. I'll try to get to some emails this hour, if not next hour. We're going to talk again about Joe Biden because there are a couple names now being out there. And you know what I dislike? Here's what I don't like. I realize sometimes we have to practice being vague, but when it comes to people who do evil, horrible things, I don't like vagueness. I want names. I want to know who was the person responsible. When we discuss the destruction of the United States of America, for instance, who's doing it? Then don't just tell me random. Don't even just say communists. Who's responsible? Now, for instance, Joe Biden's presidency, as we've recapped before, it was further left than anybody could ever have imagined. It was almost as if the person running the country hated it, because there are things that are beyond belief. We'll focus on the border for the time being. The border, remember, when Joe Biden took over, the border was secure. Trump had, to his credit, during his first 4 years, secured the border. So what does that mean? It means you have to take focused steps. It takes an effort to unsecure it. It takes an effort to open it up because it had already been secured. And they did it. 4 years, 20 million people. But as Trump brought up the other day, who would do that? Remember when Trump went off on that rant? I think we played it last night. Who would do that? Trump was going off about the auto pen. What kind of a person would do that? Listen to this. This is Todd Lyons. He's the acting ICE director. Listen to the people Joe Biden brought into the country.
We have an individual who's convicted of homicide and armed robbery and served 15 years in confinement. Due to countries that won't take their citizens back, this individual was released back into the community under ICE supervision to prey upon people again. Another individual sentenced to life in confinement, convicted of first-degree murder. His country would not take him back, forcing ICE to have to re-release him back into the community to reoffend. As Tricia highlighted before, we have an individual that raped and sexually assaulted a mentally handicapped victim. Because his country would not take him back, ICE had to find a third country to take him back so we can remove this public safety threat.
Who did that? If it wasn't Joe Biden, who did that? And let's just establish something right off the bat. It was not Joe Biden. I've never liked Joe Biden because he was always a jerk. And he's never been on my side. He's always been on the left. But Joe Biden's political career is not Elizabeth Warren's political career. It's not AOC. It's not Adam Schiff. He didn't have a political career from the complete communist left. Why would he do that? Well, of course, he didn't. As a little evidence, listen to this jaw-dropping clip from CNN before we get to who actually did it. Listen to this. This is... wow.
This fake town hall was in order to film it. So
He's describing a fake town hall the Biden campaign put on.
This fake town hall was in order to film it so they could make it into campaign commercials. They filmed it in Delaware with supporters. But Joe Biden at this point, this is the spring of 2024, Joe Biden's town hall, which was closed to press, was so bad that campaign officials determined that it was not usable for a campaign commercial. So they took 90 minutes, 2 hours out of the president's day. They filmed an entire town hall and they determined that it was not usable. Now, some people say this was because Joe Biden was incoherent. He could not really articulate his thoughts in a pithy or even semi-normal way.
They filmed a fake town hall for 2 hours and they couldn't find a usable television commercial out of it. Did you know that I had to make commercials when I was running for Congress? They're really cheesy. You can still go look at them. I'm sure they're still on YouTube. You know, each one of those 30-second commercials you'll see on there took about 8-9 hours of filming. It was an entire day. I remember being floored by that. That's how much editing goes in. Hours and hours and hours of videotape. And they edit it down to where you're just right and you're speaking just right and the lighting is just right and everything's just right. Joe Biden was so incapacitated, they filmed a town hall closed off to the press, complete controlled environment, controlled questions, written down answers, and he was still incoherent. They couldn't even use the film. But that, of course, begs the question. It's the reason we brought it up. Who was actually running things? Otto Penn isn't anybody's name. Otto Penn doesn't work on its own. Who's using the Otto Penn? Ed Martin, Trump's weaponization czar, very good man, Ed Martin. He went on this show with Mark Halperin, and he talked about who the gatekeepers were of the Biden White House.
I had a whistleblower in my office 10 days ago, senior Democrat, saying, look, it was these three people that controlled access, and they were making money off of it. I don't know if I believe it yet, but the point is, I think we have to get to the bottom of it for the American people and to protect the process.
And so, and can you, and you probably won't tell us, but can you characterize who the whistleblower was? Is it someone who worked in the Biden White House?
Biden campaign, 2020 campaign at the highest levels.
2020. And who are the three people they said were doing this for money?
This is the one let me say it carefully. Yeah. The gatekeepers, different characterization of who was using the access, but the gatekeepers were Klain and Anita Dunn and Bob Bauer. And those.
Klain, that would be Ron Klain, Anita Dunn and Bob Bauer. We'll set aside Ron Klain for our time, for our purposes right now. We'll set aside Bob Bauer. Anita Dunn. Huh. That name sounds familiar. Especially if you've been paying attention to politics for very long. Anita Dunn. Where have I heard that name before? That's right. Anita Dunn was a major power broker in Obama's White House. She was, until public pressure forced her out. Why did that public pressure force her out? Because, credit where it's due, Glenn Beck, way back then, dug up video of Anita Dunn. Anita Dunn, well, I'll play it in a moment, but as I play this and as you listen to the sound of this person's voice, if you'd like to know what kind of an animal, what kind of a subhuman demon would purposely bring rapists into your country? Well, allow me to introduce her to you.
Actually come from two of my favorite political philosophers, Mao Zedong and Mother Teresa, not often coupled with each other, but the two people that I turn to most. In 1947, when Mao Zedong was being challenged within his own party on his plan to basically take China over, Chiang Kai-shek and the nationalist Chinese held the cities. They had the army. They had the air force. They had everything on their side. And people said, how can you win? How can you do this? How can you do this against all of the odds against you? And Mao Zedong said, you know, you fight your war and I'll fight mine. And think about that for a second. Yeah. You don't have to accept the definition of how to do things. And you don't.
Mao Zedong, you can hear the admiration in her voice. Mao Zedong murdered 50, 60 million of his own people. Mao Zedong was such a demon in human form that he took a lifelong friend of his who had angered him. The friend was a diabetic. You know what it's like for people when they die, when they don't get their medication of diabetes? It's unbelievable. It's agony like you can't imagine. Mao threw him in a jail, took away his diabetes medication, and then had them set up cameras to film it so he could watch his former friend die in agony over the course of 48 to 72 hours. That's when he wasn't murdering 40 to 50, maybe 60, we'll never know, million of his own countrymen. You ask, how could one man, how could one presidency destroy so much in 4 years? How it was almost as if there were people running the country who hated it and were trying to destroy it. Because that's exactly what was happening. We have names. We know. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Joe Biden had communists all around him running the country while he laid there comatose for 4 years. If it seemed like, and it obviously did seem like for 4 years, like the United States president actually was at war with the American people, it's because for 4 years, the United States president was at war with the American people. And that's because he wasn't a functional human being anymore, but the people around him have been at war with the American people forever, and they were finally handed the most devastating weapon you can hand people like that. They were handed the Oval Office. Remember that story I told you that one time about my father? About the only time he ever took me on a work trip. We were a construction family. He was always out of town working construction, but one time he got invited to the Caterpillar plant in Peoria, Illinois. Caterpillar, the big construction machines that you would know. And they had this big arena, like a basketball arena there. It's part of their facility, all filled up with dirt in the center of it. And you could go out there and operate the equipment. I was the only kid. It was a bunch of old, gruff construction guys. So they treated me great. I was the only kid. I was 6, 7 years old. And at one point in time, the cat guys, they allowed me to run a machine. 6, 7 years old. They put me in it, and it was on, and everything worked. And because everyone had cleared out, you know, everything, there was, I couldn't hurt anything really. It was, here you go. Have fun. That's what the communists did with the Oval Office for 4 years. Joe Biden won the election. Only Joe Biden was never a functional adult. And the people, Anita Dunn's been at war with this country her entire life. That's why Barack Obama loved her so much, kept her so close. That's why she's been so close to Democrat Party politics. She has tried to put this place to the torch forever. And finally, I mean, it's not just her, I should point that out, but finally, she was essentially made president. Hey, Anita, that country you hate? I have some great news. You're in charge of it now. Here's some executive. What executive orders would you like? Go ahead. Hey, use the auto pen to sign them. What kind of a person? Let me ask you. The pardons are actually in the news again. Joe Biden's pardons. Thousands of them. It was bizarre. Who would do that? Who? So many of these people are just horrible people. They've already gone on to reoffend. Of course they did. Who would let these people go? You almost have to. My goodness, you almost have to hate the country if you're going to let these people go. Well, yeah, they hate the country. And remember, you probably forget it, but I'll play you the audio of it. Remember after Joe Biden's debate, his disastrous debate, the one where he just, I mean, it was obvious then. They couldn't cover it up anymore. It was a disaster. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. Many Democrats were openly calling for Joe Biden's removal. Hey, no more running. You don't get to run again. You got it. Many just stayed silent. Those were the ones who wanted him out. But there were a few people, they wanted him to stay in.
What do you say to members of the House of Representatives, Democrats, who are on the phone with reporters saying that the president needs to step down?
We're basically saying the president is the only person out there who's ever beaten Donald Trump, and he will do it again. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're all going to work together on this.
Miss Anita Dunn didn't want Joe Biden to step down because that would mean she had to step down. Maybe they should be building a presidential library to Anita Dunn, our true president, for 4 years. If you ever have a moment where you look back at Joe Biden's presidency and you marvel at how they could destroy so much so fast, it's because they were trying to. Remember that. Hey, Jesse, recently you mentioned about seeking accountability. Do you ever see DOGE investigating the strangely wealthy congressional representatives, and not just them, but people like dishonest, slippery Mayorkas as well? Well, I mean, look, I've got some tough news when it comes to that with DOGE. You know, DOGE is Elon Musk and the group of super nerds that have been auditing everything. Elon Musk, he says he's going to stay around, but he's stepping down from his official role at DOGE. And he announced recently that he's not really going to be using much of his money for politics anymore. Well, that's weird. This guy gave truckloads of money to Trump to make sure he was elected, and he's been extremely political. He's washing his hands of it? Why? Well, we're about to pass a $1.5 trillion bill funding everything he discovered. I've been screaming it. People can lie to themselves all they want. A $1.5 trillion bill this big is full of funding all the corruption Elon Musk just got done exposing. Imagine you're the richest, most powerful man in the world, and you move right in. Rumor is that he slept on a couch trying to expose all this stuff, and you spend your time, you destroy your reputation. He has death threats by volume every single day, exposing endless amounts of government corruption. And the first time there's a bill that goes through Congress, the Republicans in Congress fund every single part of the corruption you just got done exposing. Do you think at some point in time you'd be off? You know what? I'm out. I'm signing off. I'm not interested anymore. Y'all have at it. You want DOGE to investigate and DOGE to do things? Well, what does it even matter if Congress is just going to ignore the whole thing? Whatever. Let's do some. Let's do a couple more emails, shall we? Then we'll talk about these judges, these dirty little snakes. Before we do that, let's talk about rough greens. Let's talk about our puppies. Well, all dogs, really, young and old. Maybe your dog's getting up there in years. Maybe you're starting to look at your dog and you're thinking, man, we probably don't have a lot of time left with him. Well, what if you could get a little more time? Do you think giving your dog vitamins and minerals and digestive enzymes and probiotics and things like that, do you think that might give you another year? Shoot, if it gives you another 6 months, you won, but what if it gives you another two, three? Dogs live longer when they get nutrition, just like all living things. Start sprinkling rough greens on your dog's food so your dog can live longer and healthier, fewer health problems at the end. Call them. Free Jumpstart trial bags. You can see differences in your dog. 833-33-MY-DOG. Or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, fantastic Wednesday. And remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. We're going to get to Lee Zeldin today in the judiciary. That's a hard word sometimes. I mean, I went to community college and corporate America. I want to do some emails first. Jesse, I agree with you entirely. This is about the Jeffrey Epstein thing. Jeffrey Epstein did commit suicide. However, after being incarcerated, Epstein likely faced a choice similar to the choice portrayed in the scene in the Godfather movies. Likely, Epstein was told he could commit suicide or else face consequences in prison similar to that suffered by Whitey Bulger, so on and so forth. Well, that was only my point. It made a whole bunch of news and it made a whole bunch of us angry. People on our side, I should say, angry, you know, Cash Patel, Dan Bongino, they go on Fox News and say Jeffrey Epstein killed himself, and everyone freaked out and said, what a bunch of deep state sellouts. But he might have killed himself with prompting. I always assumed that was a possibility. When Jeffrey Epstein dies in government custody as the cameras go out and the guards happen to fall asleep, everyone automatically pictures in their mind some highly paid government assassin slipping in there with a syringe, or some prison gangster who does it for an extra pack of smokes goes in and beats him to death. But the likely and frankly the cleanest outcome is, hey, Jeffrey, here's a picture of a family member. We're going to cut her head off if you don't kill yourself tonight. And he has to go make it happen. Let me ask you something. Just, I know it's a little bit of a dark road, but just stay with me here. High-profile suicides. Do you think all of those are suicides? And do you think all of those are suicides by somebody who wanted to kill themselves? Think about this. Let's say you have damaging information on a powerful person. Let's just come up with a name, Smillery Smitten. Let's say, what, Chris? Unrelated to anybody, let's say you have damaging information on Smillery Smitten. Okay? Now, Smillery Smitten has access to very dangerous people. And Smillery makes a phone call, gets a couple dangerous men to show up at your home one night. And these dangerous men do exactly what we discussed with Jeffrey Epstein. Here's a picture of your daughter. We know where she lives. In fact, we have people sitting out in front of her house right now. So here is a blank piece of paper. Here's a pen. We'll give you a couple minutes. We're going to supervise. Go ahead and write out your suicide note, because they study handwriting and they're going to know if it's wrong. Go ahead and write out your suicide note, sign your name on it, and then, oh, look at that. Here's a 45 with one round in it. Pick that up and fire it into your head. If you do that, your daughter can live. If not, she's going to wish she were dead in about an hour. You make that call. Do you think that only happens in the movies? Of course that exists. A suicide isn't always a suicide either. Look, I only bring this stuff up to you because most of us come from a civilized place. And that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. And we live so long in civilization where things are normal. It's work and it's school and it's the grocery store and traffic lights and church on Sunday and family reunions. And we live a normal civilized life. And I'm not insulting that at all. That's a good thing. I'm glad we have that. But we can spend so much time in a civilized world, in civilization, that we lose sight of the fact that there is a dark world all around you at all times. I've used this example before, but I'm going to bring it up again because it snaps people awake. Your state, wherever you're listening to me right now, your state, I think all of them do, has a sex offender registry. Most people never think of it. Most people never look it up. Did you know, at least everyone I've ever checked, you can go put in your zip code and see who lives around you? If you think there's not a dark world around you, I would invite you right now, as you listen to the sound of my voice, to go on your state's sex offender registry and put in your zip code and tell me what you find. Tell me who lives right up the road, a couple blocks away. Ooh, right next to your work. There is a dark, dark world. And cops, every single cop listening to me, every one of them, state troopers, detectives. I love that the show is big with cops. Every cop listening to me right now is smiling and nodding his head because every cop knows about it. Every cop knows about it. They know that that shop you drive by all day long, the whatever it is, the nail salon you drive by all day long, they know it's actually a human slavery ring. They know about this dark world. That dark world exists. It's all around us. All around us. Jesse, even though you're admitted junior college dropout, you owe yourself the body of knowledge contained in the book from the 1950s called Atlas Shrugged. Ayn Rand captured a large portion of today's culture and the use of force communists employ. I'll warn you ahead of time, it's 1,100 pages, but I urge you to read every word. As a history nerd, I think you'll be amazed. Well worth your time. Well, I'm actually glad you brought up this book because this book leads me to an offensive rule I have that'll make probably half the people listening angry. I don't read books by female authors. I just have something against it. And in fact, this book is one of the main reasons why. And do you know why? I'll give you two reasons. I'll give you two reasons. First reason is I picked up a book one time. I was in an airport, picked up a book. I read the back of the book. It was by a female author, and it was about this Navy SEAL, and he was on the run with this woman, and he had to protect her from a bunch of bad guys. See, you know exactly where my head goes. He's going to be blowing people up and stabbing people and shooting bad guys, and yeah, there was maybe half a page of that and about 85 pages full of romance and emotions. And it's a woman, right? It's how women write. Ayn Rand's book, Atlas Shrugged, would be great if it was about 1/10 of the length. 1,100 freaking pages long. The speeches in the book will last 25, 30 pages where they could have been one or two max. Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged is the most overrated pile of crap in the world, but I say that understanding the bones of it are amazing, and the lesson behind it is amazing. It really is. The lesson behind it is amazing. If I had to do it over again, I would have read the Cliff's Notes version, but I found myself ready to jump off a bridge trying to get from one part to the next part, and right when you think he's going to wrap up the speech, it's another 50 pages on and on and on. Wrap it up, woman. My goodness, it's brutal. What, Chris? What? Chris said that's what audiobooks are for. Where are you driving, Chris? Antarctica? Because that's where you'd have to drive to get through that book. It would be, oh, I couldn't even imagine. I bet you the audiobook. How long's mine, Chris? I guess I don't know how long it took. It was 8 hours? It really was 8 hours? I bet you Atlas Shrugged is 50 hours. Look it up. I bet it is. It's crazy how wordy it is. All right. Let's talk about the judiciary. What, Chris? How long? 52 hours! I knew it! I knew it! Oh, dude, it's brutal. It's brutal. Brutal. Now, look, I know I'm supposed to say, kids, you should still read it because the lessons are good. Oh, it sucked. Absolutely sucked. I'm going to warn you right now. You better be taking your chalk if you're going to get through that book because it's going to take an amount of focus that most people don't possess. And if you're low T, you're never going to get there. The only way you can get that kind of focus in life, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, whether you're trying to read that wordy pile of crap, is you need a male vitality stack from Chalk. Or, ladies, a female vitality stack. Because let me tell you, it's going to be too wordy for you too, ladies. It's going to be like girls' night out. It's absolutely brutal. Chalk can help you through this. Natural herbal supplements can have you feeling good all the time. CHOQ.com. Now listen. Chalk is more than just male vitality stacks and female vitality stacks. If you're just looking for, you want to start out with something, try chocolate powder. Chocolate powder. You pour it in something in the morning, packed full of vitamins and minerals. It'll change your whole day. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. Judiciary. Next.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Now, we are going to discuss something a little bit heavier here. We're going to discuss a critical institution for our country in any country, the justice system. Specifically, we're talking about the judiciary. And look, there's something very human it's a very human thing that people do. And that is, they focus on short-term gains at the expense of long-term losses. An athlete who abuses steroids is actually a great example of this. Great example of this. I'm talking about the guys who go crazy and they're down in Mexico, and he goes from being 200 pounds and scrawny to being 265 full of muscle. And in the short term, man, does that pay off. In the short term, you are bigger, you are stronger, you are faster. If you're playing football, you're better. Baseball, you're hitting the ball 10 miles better, 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 better. And for a short-term win, man, does it pay off. But what would you give for 20 more years with your wife, your kids, and their kids after them? What would you give? These professional wrestlers are actually famous for this. You know, I'm talking about WWF, or which doesn't exist anymore. I think it's WWE, whatever. Professional wrestling, you know what I mean. They're famous for, well, their hearts all explode at about 45. Why? How could that be? Well, they all abuse steroids terribly. And for a while, the crowds are cheering, and your shoulders are huge, and the girls love you, and life is good. But before you ever get to meet your grandkids, boom, heart explodes, you're gone. Short-term gains, long-term losses. We all do it. I've done it. I've done it. Not steroids, but I've made all these mistakes. I make all these mistakes. I'm not judging. But institutions do this too. And an institution that is currently committing suicide, and they don't know it, is the judiciary of this country. Judge undoes Trump administration's takedown of $55 million think tank. Judge stepped in because Trump was trying to take away $55 million from the U.S. Institute of Peace, which is a crazy name for the place. It's a totally corrupt slush fund. Trump said, nah, $55 million gone. This is a corrupt place. Judge steps up because he's a filthy communist and says, no, 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 you have to fund it. The judge's name is Beryl Howe. And I have no idea how. I actually don't even know if that's a man or a woman. Beryl Howe. And I have no doubt that Beryl Howe, the night he made that ruling, I bet you he went home and I bet you he celebrated with friends, family. Hey, man, you're not going to believe it. I got Trump. Woohoo! I used my job. I used my role as a judge to stop Trump, and it feels good. Champagne's on me, everybody. Probably felt so good. I bet you right now it feels so good still. I want you to listen to what J.D. Vance said, and he has to be a lot more delicate about things than I do because he's the vice president and wants to be president one day, but I want you to listen to this and listen very closely.
You cannot have a country where the American people keep on electing immigration enforcement, and the courts tell the American people they're not allowed to have what they voted for, and that's where we are right now.
You cannot have a country where the people choose something and the judiciary stops it. But what does that mean, you can't have a country? Well, allow me to explain what he cannot and will not and should not, because that's my job. We are going to a place quickly, in some circles we're already there, where the American people will demand ignoring the courts. And that is actually the most peaceful step. That's step one. Step two is the American people will demand the imprisonment of judges. They will. They will. And that sounds crazy, but I would argue it's inevitable. Once you abuse your power, once you abuse your role, I know it feels good in the short term. I know you celebrate that night. We got Trump, baby. I know the cocktail parties are lovely. The book deals are even better. I have no doubt about it. The speaking fees, life is good. You don't understand. You're guaranteeing the next guy who comes along is going to send the Marines into your home. And not only is he going to do it, this is what people miss. The people will cheer when he does it. Oh, yeah, go ahead and play it. U.S. Institute of Peace. Go ahead and play it, Chris.
By far the least peaceful agency that we've worked with,
yeah.
Ironically.
Of course.
Additionally, we found that they were spending money on things like private jets, and they even had a $130,000 contract with a former member of the Taliban. This is real. We don't encounter that at most agencies.
Yeah. What was the money going to the Taliban for?
So it was a contractor. They received $130,000 for generic services. And to Elon's point, there was not actually a clear description of what the contractor services were for.
It's a central intelligence agency slush fund where they pay for illegal things to happen all over the planet. Everybody knows this. It's a fairly open secret. The Trump administration, because they obviously are in charge of the CIA, wanted that money brought back. A communist judge stepped up and said, no, you have to keep funding it. And the judge thinks he's winning. And the Supreme Court, too. I should note, you're in on this, Supreme Court. The Supreme Court, too, thinks they're winning. Oh, no. You slow down the deportations. Well, no, not quite yet. Well, we can't take things too far. How many soldiers does the Supreme Court have at its disposal? Zero. The Supreme Court only has authority because the authority is granted to it in the minds of the people and the politicians. But if the people and the politicians, all it would take would be a decision. If they decide the Supreme Court doesn't have that authority anymore, then that Supreme Court's authority is gone, completely gone. And we're going there. And I don't think that's a good place to be as a country. I'd like to avoid that. I'm sure the judiciary would like to avoid that. You savages better learn how to control yourselves, or it's coming. I'm warning you now. All right, let's talk about uranium and the corporate environment and hiring hitmen and credit cards. All that, what, Chris, and so much more in our final hour. Hang on.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.